Shabbat Shalom, everyone. You're having fun with that, huh? So last weekend I was at a birthday party at a friend in the city. And I was talking to this very nice guy, and he was telling me about his experience of going home to visit his relatives and his old friends back home in rural Pennsylvania. And once again, I hear a story about how hard it is to go home and see these political signs all over the place that reflect a worldview that is personally hurtful to somebody. And going back and meeting relatives and friends who spout the most hateful things about other people. And this pain that this gentleman goes through in these are people that he grew up with, their family, their friends, and he was telling me how he doesn't recognize them because they are so filled with this kind of rancor and hatred toward whole groups of people. And he presented to me as somebody who was truly grieving this loss of his home, of his world, because of the current political reality of this world that we live in today. And I mean, I didn't say this, but inwardly in hearing this person tell me this story, it was just this kind of drained feeling, right? This sort of tired, like, oh, enough of this. Enough of this already. You know, when is this going to stop already? I mean, you know, how long do we have to constantly be burdened by this terrible polarization around us? And have we come too far? Is there any possibility of returning to a kind of national civility that seems to be lost around us at this time? So, you know, I consider it my job to constantly be here to help us hold on to our sanity, even if everybody else around us seems to be losing it. So that's my job. That's what I'm going to do again today. So, Parshat Truma. Okay, ready? I'm going to pull something out of Parshat Truma here. So it opens with the words, Vaykhu li Truma, that God commands the Israelites to bring me Truma, to bring me gifts, to bring the precious materials that they brought with them out of Mitzrayim in order to build, as the raw materials, the Mishkan, this tent of God's presence, this portable tent, which became the model of the temple in Jerusalem eventually. And for many centuries, the rabbis have noticed that it's an unusual and interesting expression. Vaykhu li truma, bring me gifts. Literally, vaykhu li, what does that mean? Take for me truma. Why didn't it say veheveta li truma? Why did it say bring me truma? It says vaykhu li truma. And very famously, there is a drash about this that goes back for centuries. The drash is the act of truly bringing something wholeheartedly is not just a giving away, it's also a receiving, right? That think about the model of somebody who you love with all of your heart, your beloved, or your child, or your grandchild, whoever it is. When you do something for them, it is not a draining experience. It is a pleasure. You're grateful to do for the people you love. It is a taking for yourself as much as it's a giving to the other person. It's a beautiful drash. Lots of rabbis use that drash, and I think it's true. Hope you do too. In the Midrashic and the Hasidic tradition, they take this idea way further in very powerful ways. That's what I want to share today. So in these traditions, they often take a random line which seems unrelated, and they show you how it's connected to this idea of to give is really to take when you give wholeheartedly. They use the expression from Shir HaShirim, from the Song of Songs. You know, I was talking about those kruvim, those loving, that concept is everywhere, this loving, erotic embrace. That's the theme of Shir HaShirim, the Song of Songs. And there's so many beautiful lines from that work of great poetry. One of them is, Ani yeshena v'libi er. I am asleep, but my heart is awake. Kol dodi dofek pitri li. And the voice of my beloved knocks open for me. Beautiful lines. Ani yeshena veli bi'er. I am asleep, but my heart is awake. The Gerer Rebbe comments on the connection between this line and this idea of giving and taking in the Parsha. He says, you know what? Why did we build the Mishkan in the first place? Why did we get this command? Because of the sin of the golden calf. We built this calf, and it was the ultimate betrayal of God. And God, of course, at first said he was going to wipe us out. Then Moses begged for mercy, and God showed God's infinite mercy. And in fact, this building of the Mishkan is an act of infinite mercy. Why? Because God took a look at the Israelites and understood that they made a mistake. They meant to be worshiping God. They just didn't know how. And so God is giving them a second chance. Just as they took the precious metals, the gold from Mitzrayim, to build the idol, so too now they would take the precious items that they brought with them from Mitzrayim and put it toward a house of God in the world. And by giving them this opportunity to make tshuva, to do what's right, they were so overwhelmed with gratitude that they ended up bringing far more than they could possibly need. They gave wholeheartedly, so because it was really a taking for them. They gave so deeply because they felt truly understood that they really meant to do what's right all along. And in this, there is a profound teaching about the nature of our human experience, and that teaching is Ani Yeshena Velibi Er. There are times in our human experience when we are asleep, when our moral sensibilities become distorted and confused. But the deeper teaching is Veli Be'er, but our heart never sleeps. In other words, the deepest desire of our hearts is always yearning to transform this world into a house of God. We got confused along the way. After after going out of Egypt, we did the sin. We didn't know any better. All we knew was 400 years of slavery. All we knew is the way you worship your God is you have to build an idol. We got confused. But now we have this chance to do it the right way. Right? And that's the teaching that the Gerer Rebbe wants us to understand about our humanity. That just give us the chance to show Libi Er. Our heart was always awake to do what was right. The Gerer Rebbe teaches that we have to get very still with ourselves on this journey of life. We all get confused along the way. If we really listen to this deepest desire of our hearts, you know what it really is? It's to create a place for the Shekhinah to dwell in the world. This is the deep act of faith in Judaism. Our deepest soul always wants to do the right thing, to bring about blessing, to bring about justice. But we get confused. There are messages, there's rhetoric, there's 24-hour news cycle. There's all kinds of things that get us confused along the way, but we mean well. Now, we know what the path to you-know-where is paved with, unfortunately. And you know what? We also know, of course, there really are bad actors in this world. Back in the golden calf, there were people who really wanted to turn people away from God, and God wasn't very kind to those people. They all got wiped out. So we know that there are psychopaths, there are demagogues, there are people who don't mean well in this world. That's true. But what the story that the rabbis want us to think about is that the vast majority of the Israelites back in the day, the vast majority of them were frankly good people. They simply were afraid and confused. And when they were shown the blueprints, which is what we're getting in this week's Parsha, the blueprints for how to do it right, they responded with every fiber of their being to do what was right. That's such an important teaching for our time, to understand something about the Jewish take on human nature. Right? You can drive out to rural Pennsylvania or rural America, anywhere, and you're going to see disturbing signs. You're going to hear otherwise lovely people say really terrifying things. And we can be really tempted to lose faith in humanity's inherent potential for goodness when we experience something like this. So the Torah is here to teach us this message. We've seen this before. In fact, this was us. This is our story. We did this very thing too. We're not different. And in the story, you have this character of God showing infinite mercy, looking upon the Israelites and seeing that all human beings are equally created in the image of God with that same potential to do what is right and what is holy. They are just scared. What do they really want? They want everything that you and I want now. They want safety. They want a country and a society and a world where they can be happy and at peace, where their children can grow up and be okay in the world. That's all the Israelites wanted at the sin of the golden calf. And that's all people want in our world today. They just need to be shown the right way to do it. That's all. That's everyone. Everyone's just looking for it. Some of us get a little lost along the way. You know what I said to that gentleman who I was talking to at the birthday party? I didn't give a sermon like this. That would be socially awkward. No, what I did is I said, you know what, don't give up. Don't give up on your family. Don't give up on your friends. You remember the good people that you remember growing up? They're the same people. They're the same people. That goodness isn't gone. Their humanity isn't gone. It's all there. Right? There's a lot of rhetoric around right now, and people are confused. They're afraid they're going to lose something precious, and they're doing what they feel like they have to do. Hold on to what they know, to the goodness that they remember. That's all. That's all that's happening. And that if there are the right kind of leaders and the right kind of messages in our society, those same people are going to wholeheartedly rise to that. That's what people are looking for. That's all they're looking for. So what is our job? Our job is not to lose faith in them, and our job is to give the truma, to take the truma of our faith in humanity. That's something we can't lose. We have to give the truma or take the truma of our engaged involvement in our society and our work to bring about the right kind of messaging in our society. And we have to elect the leaders and be the leaders to create a different kind of narrative in our society that everybody wants to rise to right now in this world. The heart of every human being yearns for the same kind of goodness and justice. It's up to us now to never lose faith and make the choices and do the work of building the Mishkan in our time. And that means working to build narratives and rhetoric and leaders that are here to build up a world of justice, to wake up everyone in this world to the